Everybody, this is Kirsty Pike, founder and toilet cleaner of Proas Hunting Apparel for Women, and you're listening to the I Am Proas podcast.
I'm here too. This is Catherine Brown, customer service coordinator and loyal minion at Proas.
Enjoy the ride while we talk about all things hunting, Proas, and the women's outdoor industry.
And prepare for the usual Proas shenanigans as we interview industry pros, talk amongst ourselves, and digress regularly.
Chris Avina doesn't know what he's in
for
today.
You know how situationally aware I am.
But are you aware at all, situationally?
No, that's how I'm not.
I know.
Does that make sense? I am not situationally aware.
Oh my God.
No except way. If you're a person that could harm me or steal my stuff, then I am.
Or if you're a woman in Indianapolis driving a white minivan, you were situationally aware that time.
Yeah, but I was too much fight and not enough flight, and you were like all flight and no regard.
I was all flight right into the bar. That's what I did.
So Kirsty and I were crossing a crosswalk, and this lady in a white minivan was turning through our walk signal with no regard for us being in the crosswalk, not having noticed us.
None.
And Kirsty sprinted across the street and left me, and I hollered, "No, no, no!" at her while
and scowled the scowl.
My hands, and she looked very shocked. But I wouldn't have won that battle, so it's a good thing that she saw me.
Yeah,
like flight would have been more intelligent, but it just made me angry.
Well, I'm glad you gave me your phone, but I don't know how to open it.
It's 12:19. It's my girl's birthday.
Oh, ooh, dip, dip. Hold on. There's your photos. Okay. Whoa. You definitely aren't that limber.
No. Mm. I just photoshopped my face on that person.
Twitch at the midget. That's going on your screensaver next.
Oh, yeah. That was one of Kirsty and my favorite games from days of old was going in and changing each other's desktop image. And the rule was no areolas, no genitalia, but we put a lot of pictures that were like as close as we could get to that, and we.
I accidentally, so for public service announcement out there, never ever ever Google naked midgets because you're gonna get stuff you never want to see. I actually lost my innocence that day.
I normally went for like morbidly obese pictures for Kirsty's desktop with. Little to no clothing.
It was really pretty. And then the bookkeeper would get on my computer. And these days, that's so worth it. I'm so glad we traumatized her a little bit because she just steals a piece of my soul every day.
What if she listens to this podcast?
I assure you she does not. As far away from me that she can get, she will be. Does not like the pike.
She doesn't want to surround herself with your voice when she's not working.
Does anybody? It's so lilting.
I do. I feel like I am right now with my earmuffs on.
What was that? What was the
earmuffs?
Yeah. No, wait. What did we call the
audio muffs?
Audio muffs. That's what we decided our punk band would be is the audio muffs.
All girl punk band.
Oh my God. I think we should probably call Chris. Okay.
No, we shouldn't.
Okay. Should I give him a fair warning that he's already being recorded?
Hello.
Hey, what are you doing? What are you wearing?
I was going to ask that.
Khakis.
Was that khaki or khakis?
Khaki.
Oh. Did you know that one of my biggest struggles in life is the H in the word khaki or the lack thereof? I can never spell it correctly the first time. I'm so glad we're just calling things prairie now rather than khaki.
Yeah, well, I don't wear them anyway, so.
Are you wearing a tank top right now, Chris Avina?
I'm wearing a G-string.
Oh, God. You're being recorded right now, too, so just welcome to the podcast. We were just saying, do you think we should warn him that he's on already? But. Yeah. So I guess we'll get going with it then. We've just been bantering because, I mean, it's kind of what we do. We have some of our best stuff right before we ever turn the recorder on, and then we just stare at each other.
I think three best was one too many. I think best is like the highest level we ever get to.
I'm kind of in trouble.
That's too high a bar for me right now. Three best.
Yeah, it's true. Let's just step over that said bar.
Mediocrity. Be on the mediocrity level.
Yeah. So here we are. We're at the Proas podcast. I don't know what one this was, and I don't know what possessed Chris Avina to accept our invitation for this, but you know, he did.
We invited you specifically because you laugh at our jokes.
I'm a glutton for punishment.
That's true. We do know that. We do know that. And again, before we even get rolling, I've got to know, what's your beef against boxed wine?
I don't have a beef against any wine.
I don't know. I see a lot of disparaging comments in my feeds about boxed wine.
Because I know you have boxed wine.
Because we're all class. I mean, I feel like boxed wine needs a pro and con, like pros.
Pros is it stays fresh for up to 30 days after opening.
But nobody keeps it for 30 days.
And it travels easy.
That it does.
It goes really well into the back country versus a glass bottle.
It does. You just take the bladder.
Yeah, take out the bladder.
Yeah. It's lighter. It's not going to break. And
you don't even need a glass. You could just drink it out of the bag.
It's 12%.
And it's never
going to
last the duration of its lifespan.
No, that's exactly it. So it can be crappy wine all at once, and it just doesn't matter.
I look for the award-winning boxed wines because
it's so incredibly better.
I like the black box.
Woo! Of course you do.
Yes, I do.
Yes, you do. So I want to introduce our interviewee today for the podcast, Chris Avina, who's the publisher for American Outdoor News. We've known Chris. How long have we known you, Chris?
Oh, it's definitely over 10 years.
Over a decade, for sure.
That's because we're all getting kind of long in the tooth. I think it's as if we've always known you. And you still come. You know what? I just realized the only reason he comes by to see us is because we have wine. It's not because he really wants to hang out with us.
That is the only reason.
You did. You actually just admitted it.
No. That breaks my heart.
I even walk up with my own glass.
This podcast is over.
You do.
This podcast is over.
I just walk up with the glass refill, please.
That's true.
He's
it's
a user.
True.
That's what we've just learned.
Yeah. Look at what we've done. We were laughing a little bit earlier because we've always got some kind of story when we start the podcast. So I had it's kind of been an interesting morphing. I guess I can't think of anything. Metamorphosis. Because Catherine and I have been together.
I think longest-standing relationship in my life.
You and Mongo?
Candygram for Mongo.
But it's been, 15 years or something like anyway.
You always forget our anniversary.
I know.
My feelings.
I know it does. So we've kind of joked over time that we've started morphing into each other because I'm kind of more type A and Catherine's not. And
type X.
So yesterday, or I guess it was 2 days ago, I was at one of my jobs in an office, and my husband Steve called, and he's like, "Yeah, I just need you to come help me with this errand. I'll pick you up. I'll be right there." And I was kind of in a hurry, and I was talking to a lady on the way out, and there was a white truck parked right outside the door. So I'm running in and jumped in and sat down inside the truck, and I look, I hear this voice that says, "Can I help you?" And it wasn't my husband's voice, and I look over, and it's another man. I jumped in the wrong truck. So luckily we're in a small town, and I know Steve Bache. You're going to love this, Steve Bache. This is for you, because he's never going to quit tormenting me about this. I jump out of the truck. There's a car behind him, and then I can see my husband in his truck dying back there. And he's just like,
What are you doing?
So, yeah, I came back to the office to tell Catherine the story, and I think you can expound on what happened after that.
Well, I was dying laughing because in Days of Old, one of her favorite games to play with me is if we were at a trade show or on the road somewhere, she would just start walking me around randomly like a little duckling.
She was always had her face in her phone.
Yeah,
I just see how long she'd follow.
I just follow along very automatically like a little duckling. And another time I was on my phone and we were walking past this truck that looked slightly similar to hers, and I just like went to get in it, and she was like, "What are you doing?" And thought it was the funniest thing in the world. Yet she just got in like Steve Bache's car
and sat down. I was closing the door, and then I hear this like strange voice, and it scared the crap out of me.
And
honestly, we've
known him for even longer than you, Chris.
Yeah, so. I know. I grew up with him. Thank God.
There's something fundamentally wrong with that guy because. He shouldn't, you know, if it was me, I wouldn't say, "Can I help you?" I would say, "Thank you, God."
Well, you know what? He messaged me. He goes, "It's not very often I have a blonde jump in my truck, but what I wanted to say was, how much?"
Oh, my God. Yeah, if Steve Bache is wrong, I don't want to be right.
So I get back to the office and tell, I'm also flustered because I have to do a bunch of stuff. And it was kind of a mess that day. So I tell her the story, and then...
What am I supposed to say here?
This is when
line.
You...
Line.
This is when you talk about how I've become Kirsty Catherine.
Oh, yeah. Okay. Apparently not, because that was a very Catherine moment. But we discussed how we basically had morphed towards each other, and that we were both like versions of... Almost like if we'd had a child somehow.
Yeah. Like if Kirsty and Catherine had babies, they would be us now because they're very similar.
Because Kirsty's getting in the wrong truck. She was very loud and in my space that same day. I was like vacuuming right behind me. And
yeah, it's true. And normally that's Catherine who's in the space, chewing loudly.
Yeah, and I've become a lot more Kirsty in the course of all our years together. We've had some influence.
So aren't you glad we're interviewing you instead of just weaving you yarns about our lives? We're just holding you captive because nobody likes us. So
she
we're
left
just
the door unlocked in a jar the other day, which I've received many notes about. Notes from my inanimate objects in my office. About.
The police have never been called when I left the thing open.
That's because you didn't leave an inflatable shark in the office that floated around and triggered the motion alarms. We don't have motion alarms anymore. I think that's the main thing.
Well, you know what? I'm so glad you put that out there for people.
Like, yeah, well, I also put
you want to just break into ProWiz?
Well, I'm not saying we don't have an alarm, but inside the... Never mind. We're installing one today.
All right, we're done. Okay. So, go ahead.
You still have that attack pig that used to wander around the office?
Oh, the bunny? Bum Bum?
Oh, the bunny.
Yes, yeah, very close to a pig. I'm glad you're a hunter. Will you be?
I swear, officer, I thought it was.
Sharp, nasty teeth.
I thought it was an elk.
Especially like, since was a coyote, dwarf sir. Rabbit. It was so close.
No,
so
he died
close.
Many moons ago, and we had an overly dramatic funeral for him.
We did, and then we adopted another rabbit who was a total dick and got rid of him. So,
and I ate him.
Yeah, that's true. So, Chris, tell us a little bit about American Outdoor News.
Well, we're online outdoor lifestyle magazine. That's it.
Yeah. Okay. Thank you.
So, yeah.
No, go. The magazine is awesome. I mean, we get it, and I look at it all the time. And I think you've got some of the coolest covers, and you interview the greatest people. And what? Tell me what you did before you actually did the magazine.
Oh wow, that's an excellent question.
Well, thank you. We worked
actually
hard
Googled
on that.
I him, so I could probably answer this.
I do too. I got a funny story on this one too.
No, I did have See Me Hunt before the magazine, but that was more of a hobby than anything else. Before that, I did mortgages, I flipped houses, I hustled.
Yeah, well, I think you hustle now too, don't you?
Yeah, pretty much. I'm trying to hustle you for an ad.
Oh, I didn't know that was the part of the deal here. You mean one of those free ads?
Yeah, yeah. You know, you did send a donation for the Dallas Safari Club Northeast Chapter Banquet, but it came like 3 days too late.
I know.
Why do when you can overdo?
Right? Yeah, we just discussed setting the bar low because then all you have to do is step over the thing.
Mediocrity.
I'm going to look great in a pro's vest.
You are. With no sleeves.
He's from the East Coast. I wouldn't trust him regardless. No,
that's true. That's true.
What? I don't know if I don't think my arms could fit through the vest hole. you know, for the arms.
Oh, because the guns.
Yeah, that's why you have to wear so many tank tops.
Yeah, you know, they
optimal.
They stopped me going through TSA and everything. Yeah. You know?
Welcome to the show.
Welcome to the gun show.
This is Remington,
boys and girls.
Here, and this is
Winchester.
Yeah, you gotta give it a kiss while you do that.
Oh my God! So what made you wanted to start American Outdoor News?
It was a complete and total accident. I was speaking to somebody with a friend of ours about buying a magazine, and his numbers were out of whack. He was asking emotional numbers, and I said, you know, I said I could start one for a fraction of the cost. I don't need to buy a magazine. He said, go ahead. I said, hold my beer. And here I am 5 years later.
What's an emotional number? Is it like what is that?
Well, you know, when you're trying to sell something worth, say, $100,000 for $300,000, that's what you emotionally think it's worth. But financially, it's worth $100,000.
That's not its fair market value is what you're saying.
Ooh, look at you.
Correct.
Yes.
Wow.
Wow, were you like a financial advisor or something?
No.
No.
I would have been fired so quickly.
Neither of us would fit that. So when did you start the magazine?
We're rolling into our fifth year, so I guess 2018.
Dang, I didn't realize it had been that long. That's awesome.
Yeah, that's kind of a wake-up call.
Yeah, time's a ticking.
But it's been great. You know, we've interviewed some amazing people. We've had the who's who of the outdoor industry, plus notable celebrity. You know, like Bo Jackson's been on the cover, and Travis Tritt, and Adam Vinatieri. And
do some more name dropping.
Yeah.
I didn't mean to interrupt you.
One more bite. Well, one more bite.
Well, but there's more.
I know. We want to hear more.
Tell us more.
Ted Nugent, Joe Mantegna. And, you know, I would love to get Kristi Noem on the cover. So if she's listening to your podcast right now, Governor, I could be reached at editor at American Outdoor News.
I might have her digits.
They're kind of best friends. She spent a whole day gloating about it.
I did. But I haven't heard from her
just
in a long
saying.
Time, so.
Yeah. Maybe you send her a text, because she's your best friend.
That's right. I have a feeling she's a little more pure than the Pros podcast, I think.
Well, she's gearing up for a run at vice president, so.
I could put my big girl panties on for that episode. I could. I promise.
Could you?
Or you could just leave me off of it. Since you guys
it wouldn't be the same. I couldn't stare longingly into your eyes across the table.
We'll just have to do some heavy editing. How about that? No promises, but heavy editing.
So who was your most memorable interview?
Oh, geez. You know, there's so many, but Nick Hoffman was a great interview. He's just, you know, probably one of the coolest people in the industry. And he's, you know,
thanks, Avina. I bet, you know, he doesn't give you box wine, but that's cool. Anyway,
obviously, Pike is on the top of the list.
Clearly.
Everyone knows that. Do you know who I am?
Sorry, we interrupt again.
So we digress.
Lou Tuminaro, that's on this cover from Gunfather. You know, he's originally from New York and he is Italian. So you put two Italian New Yorkers in the same room. It's going to be
cannolis?
Something spectacular. Yeah. You know,
a lot of F-bombs.
We left the gun and so took the cannolis.
A lot of tank tops. So many cannolis. That's cool. Who else?
Geez.
What's Ted Nugent like? Do you have cat scratch fever now?
You know, I do. Ted's always a great interview, but you gotta try and control the direction of the
interview. Yeah, good thing we're a lot more on task than Ted Nugent at this podcast, so that's okay.
I don't know about that. You're kind of
squirrel.
You kind of rival his energy level.
What?
But, But once he gets going, you kind of, you know, let go of the reins and just let him go.
Yeah, that's good. Fun. And tell me, well, Catherine, I'm sure she's got some questions. I'm just hogging. Okay.
You are.
Okay, go.
I wanted to know about Chris Avina's origin story. Like, how did you get into hunting and the outdoors? As a wee lad, I assume.
As a wee lad, you know, I was always into camping and stuff like that. And, you know, my uncle took me camping because my, you know, my father was not an outdoorsman. His idea of the outdoors was, you know, sticking his head out of the sliding doors to see if it was sunny out.
When did you get the bloodlust for murder, though?
You know, my uncle took me on my first hunt, and God bless him. He was probably the worst hunter I've ever met. I don't remember him ever shooting anything, but he made the experience fun.
Probably too many snacks. That's my downfall. Crunchy snacks. Yeah.
Yeah, he'd be the one getting up early and making breakfast and making us dinner and all that. But, you know, he made it a fun experience. And, you know, just like you guys, once you get your first tag fold, it becomes like kind of an addiction.
It does, for sure. I'm letting you have another question now.
Oh, can I have another one?
Yeah.
Okay. Let's see.
Anyway.
Long pause.
I have been stalking you on Instagram, and there is a lot of delicious food porn on there that I really enjoyed. What is your favorite, some of your favorite recipes? Because you can obviously cook and play some wild game.
Well, I'm going to give you a free plug because I am coming out with a wild game cookbook this year.
What?
Wow. I hope we get a complimentary book.
Where can we purchase it?
Well, it'll probably be on Amazon. I haven't finished it yet, but my favorite, you know, I made rabbit and I didn't know how to make it. And I'm like, how the hell am I going to make this?
That's because you thought it was a pig.
Haas and pepper?
I did. I thought it was an old girlfriend.
Sorry. Anyway, we go ahead.
So I started kind of putting it together in my head, you know, and, you know, I'm like, I'll wrap it in bacon. I'm like, yeah, everything's wrapped in bacon. So I'm walking through the store and I see some andouille sausage and I'm like, oh, I like andouille. So I text Scott Lathith, the game chef, sporting chef. And I'm like, this is what I'm thinking, you know, and he's like, oh, you could add some chicken stock and some wine. I'm like, and we just kind of like collaborated on the spot, and it turned out to be this amazing recipe.
Nice. Send some our way.
I will. I made it on my fire pit in a Dutch oven. It really turned out spectacular.
Was this like cottontail rabbit?
I think it was domestic.
Oh, did you steal one from the neighbor's yard?
Yeah, you know,
that
the
was one of my best recipes too. Kirstie and I got these.
Have you
Speaking
seen my
bun
rabbit?
Bun.
Nope.
Well, thought it was a pig.
We tried to replace Bun Bun a couple times, and one of the times we got these two like giant butterscotch lop ear brothers.
Oh, it's so gross.
And they just pissed everywhere.
That wasn't pee. That wasn't pee.
No, we weren't even trying to replace Bun Bun because Bun Bun
was
still
there. He got violated by those guys.
By them. It was sad.
He did. He was a very sticky little rabbit.
And Kirsty was like, you do a lot of rabbit hunting. Can you do something about this situation?
Dispatched.
And I think I traumatized our UPS guy a little because they were huge. And I was carrying them to my car and they were like.
Blood trail.
Bleeding. And there's a blood trail like
out of the Proas. Right out of the Proas office.
But I made Haas and pepper with these two and they had like the biggest back straps I've ever seen from a bunny, and it was one of the best things I ever cooked. Like I felt a little bad about it until I tasted it, and they were so good.
They were a child's pet that we adopted.
Did you get the recipe from Elma J. Fudd?
Should we be telling this story?
From where?
Elma J. Fudd.
Oh yeah, Hassan Fafa.
They were awful. There was a reason that they were rehomed, and they should have given us more information.
Yeah, it was gross. So, if you could interview anybody, who do you wish you could interview that you haven't yet?
Oh, there's a lot. Joe Perry from Aerosmith and Steven Tyler. They're both outdoorsmen. Huge Aerosmith fan.
Huge, me too. It's our generation, buddy.
Been to many of their
Aerosmith
shows.
Too?
You're too young.
I do. Aerosmith was way before your time, young lady.
It's true. It's true.
But I had a dad that really loved a lot of cool music, and he got me into it from a young age. And I have
Patty Loveless.
Broad spectrum musical taste. I'll have you know.
Okay, so the Aerosmith guys.
I have a list. Do you have time?
Christy Noem. No, we got that. Christy Noem, if you're listening.
Christy Noem, I'd love to interview.
She's just blocked my cell phone.
I thought you were best friends.
I thought we were too. Just kidding.
She's crying a little right now. I don't know if it hurts.
I have a serious girl crush on her. She's pretty amazing. Right. Okay, go ahead.
Brett Favre, John Riggins. John Riggins played for the Redskins. Blake Shelton, Matthew McConaughey.
Oh,
he was a big outdoorsman.
Does he hunt?
Still is. Yeah.
Well, if you interview him, can I come watch?
Listen? You could be my camera girl.
Okay. Okay. Perfect. Nice. Who else? Keep going.
Kurt Russell.
Ooh. Mm-hmm. And Goldie?
I don't know. I'll take Goldie.
I bet you will.
Bill Murray.
Ted Cruz.
I don't know if he's
Ted Cruz. Person. I'd like to watch that one too.
Who else? Stone Cold. Steve Austin.
Really?
How about Joe Rogan?
How about Joe Rogan?
Oh, I'd love to interview him.
There you go. He's an outdoorsman.
Yeah, even Kevin Costner.
His podcast doesn't have very many listeners, but other than that, he's okay.
How about Derek
Wolfe? Yeah, he's a scrub. I'd be doing him a favor, right?
Yeah, maybe he'll advertise on your magazine. How about Derek Wolfe from the Broncos? Mm-hmm.
Oh, sure.
Yeah. Yeah, yeah.
Sure, why not?
Why not? Yeah. Okay, fire away, Catherine.
Okay, I want to hear about the worst hunt you've ever been on or outfitter.
You don't have to name names.
Yes, you do.
Because then it's a liability.
Of course you do.
Anyway.
No,
slander if it's not true.
You got to fight your way into the conversation. I know when you're on the phone, you feel like no one can hear you, but just keep talking. I promise.
My worst hunt with an outfitter was probably in Kentucky. We drove there and... he brought us to our stands. Wait a minute. Let me take a step back. He brought us to his lodge, which was actually a converted 3-car garage.
Ooh, that's nice. We've had to change our own sheets before, huh, Pike?
Yeah, we have.
And it actually still had the working garage door openers.
What are you complaining about?
Yeah, Kirsten just had the garage door open all morning.
You got to air out the lodge.
That's right.
Yeah, that's great. The stands were looked like they were put up the day before because the shooting lanes where they cut the branches looked like they were freshly cut. So we didn't get anything that trip. And,
well, at least they weren't infested with wasps.
That's true.
Wasps.
That could be worse.
Yeah, that we could had be worse. Sprayer on wasps on one of the first Proas hunts.
For sure. So, needless to say, you didn't get anything. But did you have fun?
It was fun.
Ish? Or, yeah, it was fun.
Yeah, it was fun when the outfitter wasn't around. We, enjoyed ourselves.
Was it a paddle faster, I hear, banjo situation?
No banjos, no rocking chairs, and no corncob pipe.
Well, what about, so now we go back to the pig.
Well, there goes all its charm.
Mm-hmm.
So, I'm deer hunting in New York, and it just snowed. So, I'm following some deer tracks, and it crosses a creek, and I'm looking for a place to cross, and I see a blowdown that was pretty big tree that you know, fell over the creek. So I'm like, oh, I'll just.
Thank you for defining that. I was like, what's a blowdown?
Is that I don't know. I don't hunt that way, but whatever.
The same spectrum of blowdown.
Okay.
So I'm like, all right, I'll just walk across the log. So I throw the, you know, my gun over my shoulder and I start walking across the snow-covered log. And I started to lose my balance and slip. Well, I figured I better jump to the side before I fell in. So I took the leap of faith and I landed in the deepest part of the creek up to my chest.
Was it on film? Did anybody get a picture of it or anything?
No, but, you know, I probably ran the last mile back to the truck in record time.
That's cold.
That's so cold.
Literally.
Oh my God.
Okay, so I want to know what the favorite species you've eaten, like favorite type of game meat.
Oh, I love wild hog.
Back to the pig again.
Yeah.
That's actually a rabbit. Remember we discussed that earlier. Hasan Papa.
Hasan Peppa.
I'm very partial to wild hog.
And what's the animal you are most proud of harvesting? Of all your hunts ever. Most proud.
I guess a rhino.
Are you still there? Uh-oh.
What happened?
Uh-oh.
What, we're not recording?
Oh, now we are. You're back. We got to start over. I don't know. Something just happened.
Okay, rhino.
Rhino. Baby rhino?
No, it was a full-grown rhino.
Oh, good.
Most endangered rhino.
A pregnant one.
How did it taste?
I didn't eat it because I shot it with a tranquilizer gun.
Just reject that. Reject that.
I don't know what to do.
It's just say... The red and green one, I think, is the one.
It was a green hunt, a conservation. No.
Well, I figured as much. Tell us about it so we don't get all the haters.
Well, we had to crawl through the thorn bushes. And we had, well, being that it was a dart gun, you had to get pretty close. So I shot it at 18 yards. And then you got to do like the sign of the cross and pray that it runs away from you and not towards you. Because they don't go down right away with a dart gun. And, you know, we had to track it. The trackers went after it on horseback. We hopped in the truck and went after it. And when we pulled up, there were two rhinos, one that I darted and one that was standing guard. So as we pulled up with the truck, it started to false charge a truck. And I'm sitting in the back and I'm like, holy shit, this thing's getting pretty close. So.
Oh my God.
That's a good friend though. Like my friend's had too much to drink. I'm just going to hang out with her. Make sure nothing bad happens.
I didn't hear that in his voice. I just didn't.
That's pretty cool. All the time.
Yeah, that's, I think if I was going to put a voice to a rhino, it wouldn't sound like that.
So? Does anything I do make sense, Pike? Why are you putting that filter on me?
All right. So like we promised, we always have to do a game. So basically the game today is random questions from Kirstie and Catherine. And we're going to rapid fire questions to you. And if you get enough of them right, or at least answer them, you win a fabulous prize. And that prize is an autographed picture of us.
Yeah. We're
wow.
Millions.
Yeah. We'll even cover the postage to mail it.
Are you going to be in pro as
bikini? No, we won't.
What's that?
That's too much overhead.
Nobody needs to see that.
We're going to need you to send us a shipping label for this.
Yeah. We'll give it to you, but you got to send us a shipping label.
Shipping and handling is extra.
I got to say something too, though, before we go into that. We were both on our computers just kind of like finding things to ask, and I Googled Chris Avena, and this article comes up that said, Chris Avena, hard work and humility. And I was like, oh, that's not the Chris Avena I know. And it wasn't. It was a guy that made like a ice skating rink in Connecticut or something like that.
There's a hockey coach in Connecticut named Chris Avena.
Yeah, that's it. Yeah.
Don't let her talk to you like that.
I just knew from
you're for sure hardworking.
Anyway, okay. So here comes the game. We're going to take turns. There's definite right answers. We'll let you know. Catherine, you go.
Do you have a secret talent? Can you do it right now?
I lost you for a second.
Do you have a secret talent, and can you do it right now?
Do I have a secret? Yeah, but I can't do it right now.
Okay. Fair.
Gross.
Good answer.
Gross.
All right. What is the most embarrassing thing that has ever happened to you in public?
Oh, I don't know.
Okay, I'll let that one slide. You're just one step further away from that autographed photo.
Oh, jeez.
I know. Okay, go.
What's the one item you can't live without?
My pots and pans.
That's legit, actually.
That's a plural.
But that is plural. If it had to be a pot or a pan, what would it be?
Or would it be a kettle?
It would have to be a pot.
Yeah, it's more multi-use.
Yeah, it's deeper. You can do more volume.
Volume. If you could swap lives with a famous person for a day, any famous person at all, who would it be?
Jim Morrison.
Wow. Leather pants and all?
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah, absolutely.
Break on through to the other side.
Well, that segues nicely into my, if you could hang out with one famous person alive or dead, who would it be?
It would absolutely be, well, aside from family, it would absolutely be Jim Morrison.
There we go.
Is that your man crush?
Two birds, one stone.
That's
a Falconry reference, I'll have you know.
That's the one band that I'm sorry I never got to see.
Oh, man. All right. If you had a signature dance move, what would it be?
Definitely the Pee Wee Herman dance.
Oh, yeah. We do it all the time. Come on, join in. He's just lost all of his followers.
On tap in that office?
We might.
Always.
All right, go.
If you had a time machine, when and where would you go?
Wow.
That was one of mine.
Oh, she stole your question?
That's too bad.
She did. She does that.
Thunder stolen.
Okay, go ahead. We just bought you some more time.
Is this my Bill and Ted moment?
It is totally your Bill and Ted
this
moment.
This is your
so
excellent adventure. You go wherever you want.
Yeah, I'd go to see Socrates. Probably Old West.
Yeah.
I always wanted to be a gunslinger.
Okay, but what town? Because I mean, it could vary. Where would you want to go? Oh. Tombstone.
Yeah, I'd go to Tombstone and get front row seats to the OK Corral.
Yeah, and you could go to the Birdcage. Are you familiar?
No. That must be a Colorado thing.
No.
But you did not specify.
It is a house of ill repute where there was little cages around the top that led into rooms where the ladies would lie in waiting.
Come on, do I look like the type of guy that would go to one of those places?
Well, you said you wanted to go to Tombstone.
But unfortunately, the devil twisted your request and you went back as a very attractive female.
That's right.
Now go.
I had the time travel one. All right.
The one that jumped into my truck.
Okay. Oh, just an absent-minded thing.
$10 cheap cheap.
Me boom boom long time. if your pet could talk, what do you think it would say about you?
Is this language restricted?
No, no restrictions.
We can bleep out
anything.
Or Paul can rather.
She'd probably look at me and say, "What the f are you looking at?"
That's legit. That is legit.
Okay, this segues well into my, if you could have an exotic pet, what would it be?
An exotic pet?
Yeah. Are you the Tiger King? Are you like
Rocky? Yeah, you know, I actually did hold a tiger cub when I was overseas. So yeah, maybe a tiger would
How
be pretty
cool.
How
would that make
cool.
you feel?
That'd be cool. That would be like, you know.
I think Mike Tyson has tigers. Doesn't
yeah.
he?
Yes. Yeah.
Yes.
He does.
I watched the whole Tiger King while I had COVID. Like I was like late to the game. I was like, I'm in bed.
I was wondering if you were gonna want like a chimpanzee that ate your face or something like that.
No, you know, when the tigers saw Mike Tyson coming, they would run the other way.
I would too. They're protecting their ears.
Tranquilizer dart experience, which would come in handy in that situation.
What was that?
You have tranquilizer dart experience?
Yeah.
I would keep one like an EpiPen if I had a pet tiger, and then I could just like, if I was getting mauled, I could just sedate it really quick.
It's true.
Or just,
yeah. I don't want it to get to the lethal level.
Or use it recreationally.
Yeah, whatever. I mean, I've had margaritas that were similar to that.
I have so many horse tranquilizers.
If you could have dinner with any cartoon character, who would it be?
Ooh,
Bugs Bunny.
Bugs Bunny. I was thinking it would be Johnny Quest.
You'd always be taking a wrong turn in Albuquerque, though. And who wants to do that?
Who wouldn't make it to the restaurant?
Bugs Bunny's pretty cool. I was kind of a Tom and Jerry person, too, though.
What's the weirdest gift you have ever received?
So far.
The weirdest gift that I've received so far? Oh, geez. Nothing weird. Just pretty standard stuff. Hunting gear and, you know.
Wow.
That is a wrong answer.
I
didn't. Against you for the autograph picture.
That's right.
I don't get weird stuff.
Is it because people don't give it to you or you don't think it's weird? It's two different things.
Maybe a little of both.
Well, if you don't lose this game, you'll get a weird gift. So maybe just mention that proactively.
Well,
since
you stopped doing the truck stop treasures,
stop treasures.
I know that was pretty fun. We need to try to bring that back, but Catherine doesn't go on the road anymore.
You know, mm-hmm. It's not easy being a mom.
Do you feel like all these questions are like a Kirstie and Catherine Rochard test to like deep introspection into your personality?
Yeah. You went to school for psychology, didn't you?
I'm going to need you to define two words in that last sentence.
Look it up on your phone.
We're calling him on it. You look it up on
your phone. You look it up on your phone.
It's right next to you.
You look it up.
What's are
you
going to
start
weirdest...
filming me ink blots next?
What's the weird...
What do you see?
What is the one thing you'll never do again?
Well, when I was in Venezuela, I went on a hang glider with a seat and a motor, and he just kind of ran off the cliff with it.
Wow.
And yeah.
Terrifying and fun.
Well, the seatbelt was like a piece of string, you know?
I mean, what could go wrong?
It was like the seat was like they stole it from a cafeteria and just kind of strapped it to the
That's
strapped
why
it to
countries
the hang glider.
With fewer lawsuits are so much more fun.
I mean, I think this is why OSHA's around. Just saying. It's not.
Yeah,
I believe in the Darwin Award.
World.
I feel like
it was
if you
a
do
third
that,
world country.
Yeah.
And you don't pass on your genome, that's on you.
That's true, too. All right, we got to add it up. Do you think he won? Did he pass?
Yes.
Oh, yes. An autographed picture of Kirstie and Catherine is coming to you.
By a slim margin,
wow.
though.
I know.
So
we'll even cover the shipping.
No, we won't. I already said so.
It's not going to come
Send us
COB.
A label.
It doesn't ship itself, Catherine.
Care of.
Oh my gosh. Okay. Oh, your phone keeps going off.
I told you.
I know. It's
just send it to voicemail. Right. That's fine. He'll be fine.
Okay. So one thing I want to say is I want a like heavyweight belt like the one you made for Larry Wyshoon. That's
all. Pretty cool, isn't it?
It is. I felt like I wanted to take it and steal
it. Did invite you to the ceremony, but you never showed up.
Well, I have to work at the shows.
Yeah, but you had help there. That
unless she's receiving the belt at the ceremony, why should she be there?
Yeah, wait.
That was the question I want to ask right now.
Well, I always try to support my friends, but obviously they don't reciprocate.
More boxed wine for you, sucker.
Should I call you ambulance right now, Chris Avina?
Maybe.
The siren goes, wah, wah.
So I'm going to take a serious turn on this. And, you know, and looking through everything that you've been doing, and I do follow you on social media as much as we've been joking about it, and I like all the work you do. You do a lot of spotlights on women in the industry, and I, for one, appreciate it. I think it's great to see that out there. But where did you start thinking that that was somewhere you needed to go, and who are some of the ladies that you've interviewed?
Well, it is probably the fastest growing segment in the outdoor industry. And, you know, in all fairness, they do deserve as much recognition as the guys in the outdoors, because I've hunted with a lot of women and they're probably much better hunters than me.
Takes a big man.
But who have I interviewed?
Are you asking me, or you just, is that a rhetorical question?
No, you know, I've interviewed a lot of women.
Yeah. Larissa Switlick, one of my girls, my friend.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I love Larissa. She's a good one.
Me too.
Eva Shockey, Melissa Bachman, Jana Walla. Here's one of your girls too, Donna Boddington. She was actually one of my first issues.
D-Bod's the best. She goes by D-Bod for the Proest Posse.
D-Bod.
D-Bod. Good old D-Bod. We love D-Bod. Brittany Boddington.
Yeah. Tiffany from Lee and Tiffany and Ralph and Vicky. I've incorporated couples into it, couple hunting.
That's great. That's really good. I mean, I appreciate seeing it, because it doesn't always happen across all the spectrums, but it's really good when you see it, because I do believe that you put a very good emphasis on making sure that you represent women in the industry, and we thank you for that.
Thank you.
I'm just trying to get brownie points.
I know. I was trying to give you, props. That was as serious as I could get. So do you have other women that you're thinking of interviewing soon? Besides Christy Nome.
Yeah. Actually, I have plans to interview Pat and Nicole this year.
Oh, nice.
And I'm kind of open for the rest. I really don't plan that far ahead. But I always like to, mix it up during the year and have at least a couple women on the covers.
No, I think that's great. The ladies appreciate that.
Heck yeah.
Well, I'm just trying to, get more women followers, and so they can say, I'm such a fair and wonderful guy that, they'd want to hang out with me more.
I'm certain that's what's happening.
What was it they said about the Chris Avina that you Googled?
Hold on. It's in my paper pile. Hard work and humility.
Humility, yes. That was the word I was looking for.
I'm just a very humble guy.
So humble.
I know.
Like most New Yorkers.
Yeah,
very humble.
Come on. I am a shameless self-promoter.
You have to be.
That's how you get here.
That is.
I'm my best advocate.
You gotta be. Well, we completely thank you for your time. I mean, I know you wish you could get this 45 minutes back, and you never will, but
no, that's not how time works.
That isn't how time works. You committed, now you're in it. So here you are.
Unless you figure out the time machine thing, and in which case.
Well, then we're going back to the wild, wild west, where there's no
wicked, wicked, wild, wild west.
There's no antibiotics, there's no ibuprofen. I mean, people just died.
I'll have Doc Holliday work on my teeth with his, what did he have, TB, tuberculosis?
Yeah, that's what you want. Somebody right up in your grill.
with
some bloody sputum. Well, Chris, thank you so much. We really, really, really appreciate you taking the time, and we'll catch up at show season, I think.
No, thanks for having me on. It's always good to talk to you ladies.
You called us ladies.
Oh, you just never know where it's going to go.
No, that's true. That's true. Like your mom.
Oh, there it was. I went wholesome and you went the other way. I did. That happened. We are morphing. <I know.
laughs> All right. Thanks, Chris.
Bye, Chris.
All right. See you guys later.
Bye.
Bye-bye.